Hello, everyone. Welcome back to All Good in the Brotherhood podcast, the podcast of the Benedict Project, hosted by me, Brother Francisco Whitaker, deacon and monk of St. Vincent Archabbey in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, and my one of my two co-hosts, although the other one hasn't been around in a hot minute, my brother, older brother, Tom Whitaker. Howdy, my friend, my brother, my dude.
How's it going? Happy Wednesday. Or Thursday. Wow.
It is Thursday. It is Thursday, my dude. I know we usually say it's Wednesday or it's Friday. It's neither. Yeah. It's Thursday. But in college, we called Thursday Friday, actually, yeah. Because Friday is so great because it was the end. And Thursday was so close to the end that Thursday was Friday. Friday was Super Friday.
Oh, yeah.
So that was a weird thing we did in college. But anyways.
That sounds like a college thing. That definitely
sounds like 100%. You got to live for the weekend.
Thursday too, but
you live for the weekend in college. So.
Well, that's
which is an interesting actually like basically speaks to directly what we want to talk about, so let's jump into that. Living for the weekend, is that a healthy mindset, and is there a healthy way to have that mindset? Because we'll segue into what our topic will be, so if you're still wondering what that is, hang tight. Well, what do you think? Is there a healthy way to live for the weekend? Or is there a healthy way to spend the weekend? And yes or no, whatever you want to say about that.
Yeah, well, I'd say those are two different questions.
They 100% are.
So. Yeah. So healthy way to live for the weekend. I will just start off by I don't know if I've ever heard a context where that phrase means probably anything other than kind of living it up on the weekend. Mm-hmm. So not necessarily I'm really going to be the best version of myself this weekend. It's more along the lines of, oh man, I'm really just going to go hard this weekend, you know, whether it's, you know, partying, drinking, whatever, you know, like it generally has a context of I'm going to lose myself this weekend. I'm going to forget about everything, you know, I'm going to get lost in something. And, I think that is, there's an inherently problematic nature to that context, because it's about trying to, in my opinion, in most cases, forget about your duties, forget about your responsibilities, forget about the things that may be part of your state in life, whether you're a student, whether you are a young professional. There's definitely that connotation of everything is too much for me and I can't handle this, so I need to escape. So there's escapism, and I think escapism is generally in almost all senses going to be to your detriment. It doesn't mean that you can't engage in things that kind of make you forget about, you know, sometimes when you're playing sports, you're out on an ultimate frisbee field, you're probably not thinking about any of the job stuff, school stuff, etc.
Right.
But it's okay to get lost in something, but to specifically seek out an escapism of some sort, generally speaking, not going to be a good thing. Is there a good way to enjoy the weekend, to, you know, live it up even on the weekend, if you will? I would say so. There's definitely, you know, good quality. Partying seems like, even just saying the phrase partying kind of seems superficial. But I would say what generally, like, you know, as a young family, you know, the dad of a young family, we have great parties on the weekend sometimes, not every weekend, but we'll have friends over for a barbecue, we'll have some drinks, we'll play some games, we'll laugh, we'll have good companionship, and you'll get done with a party like that and be like, wow, that was a lot of fun, like that was great. And you know, some people might be like, that's your version of living it up on the weekends as a young family. And I think there can be more wholesome aspects to that. Again, we're not seeking an escape, we're not like surrendering all of our, you know, will and time to just something that's going to absorb us for, you know, 24 to 48 hours. In a nutshell, you know, living for the weekend, I would say almost always probably is not healthy, not to your, you know, benefit of your soul. And then, you know, maybe living it up on the weekend can still be, but like all things, in moderation, you know?
Well, what I'm hearing kind of as like the underlying difference is our intention towards the present moment. So if we can say like living for the weekend is both so that I can almost even now, in like during a weekday, almost escape from the reality of the suckage of it. And then in the weekend, forget all that happened and all that's about to happen. Yeah. And it's to lose the present moment as well. It's to just kind of live in this fantastical unreality of whatever I want it to be, whatever I want to feel most, whatever I want to be most, versus what you were using, like, you know, maybe living it up in like a healthy way on the weekend. I would even almost say, like, instead of living it up, living in the weekend. It's like, I want to do these things with my kids, or I want to have these events and parties so I can be grounded again in the reality of what is good in the present moment. My work this week, well, yes, I was in the present, I was doing it, kind of takes me out of what is most good in my life. It takes me out of what I want to be present to the most. And so then regrouping at the end of the weekend to kind of like re-engage with the present is what allows those things to be, we say live up, live in, live for, but really it's just to actually be present. And that's such a contrast to kind of in college, calling Thursday Friday, Friday Super Friday, like just a denial of now in order to have something better versus accepting now. And like you said, it can be okay to like get lost in something. But to me, there's a difference kind of in getting lost in something for the sake of losing ourselves and getting lost in something in the sake of like lost in love of it. Because like I can get lost in like a conversation with someone because I'm lost in how much I love being with them versus I can get lost on YouTube because I want to lose myself in a little bit. Like I don't want to have to sit with me. I don't want to sit with my loneliness. So I don't want to sit in like just how bored I am or whatever it is. So that means that there has to be healthy like ways to like lose ourselves in a sense and unhealthy ways. And that kind of brings us to our topic of the difference between leisure and laziness. And laziness itself actually has two sides, you know, which I kind of want to talk about. But one is inactivity and one is overactivity. Most people think that laziness, like it usually means like sloth, not doing anything. But sloth itself actually from the ancient, like monastics, carried both the weight of no performance and overworking, whatever drew you away from being you in the moment at the time. So leisure versus laziness. What are your, before I launch into it, what do you understand the difference between like what is leisure versus what you would consider laziness? How do those conflict, if you want to use the word conflict, how are they different? And why is one good and the other not? Because if we do leisurely activities, they often can look lazy. So what do you think that means?
You just hit upon, and this is great because this is something, you know, my wife, Johanna, and I have been talking about a little bit more recently. Because as young parents, the amount of hours or minutes is probably a better way to think of it that we'll have on any given day that is our own, you know, not being dedicated to, you know, work, prepping for meals, getting kids dressed, getting kids cleaned up, taking them here and there, just doing household responsibilities, kind of comes down to, you know, probably minutes in many cases, less than an hour after we get them down around 9 o'clock. And we're already tired because we were up early. So how do we use then, how do we use the time that we do have to not be lazy? Because there often are still many things that we could continue to work on. I could keep working late into the night most days. You know, she could keep working late into the evening most days in some way, shape, or form on either, again, my job or taking care of the house in some way, shape, or form. So are we shirking responsibilities? Are we being lazy when we choose to use that time to either one, just hang out and maybe put on a show for a little bit, or two, you know, sit down and read and take in some, you know, literature, maybe make time to like play a board game or something like that. And it's often a difficulty. You can kind of get to that moment in the evening and you're like, we feel like we're procrastinating at least. You know, if we know there's a project on the house that we kind of keep feeling like we need to keep working on, but we're just so tired that like we need to like rest in some way, shape or form, but we're not quite ready to just go to bed. Mm-hmm. So to your point exactly, it is tricky sometimes to realize that activities in leisure can also be activities in laziness. And I think it has to do a lot with whether or not you're drawing energy out of it, which is kind of an abstract thing. Energy sounds kind of, you know, mm-hmm. meaningless or empty, you know. But there are definitely times where, you know, watching like a funny show or something like that after a really long day where nothing made us laugh. nothing mm. really kind of brought a little bit of like laughter to our hearts, even though, you know, having kids is a joy. It's also really challenging. There's a lot of a lot of exertion with that. So there is a certain amount of like restoration that comes from leisure. Mm. And it can look, again, to your point, like sitting in front of the television. I think a lot of people, and I'm honestly, you know, I'm open to kind of the thought even, would look at sitting in front of the television example of like, well, that's kind of always like going to drain you in some way, shape or form. You're just taking in digital content. It's going to drain you. Yeah. It depends on the day, depends on the kind of the content you're taking in. You could, the same could be said about podcasts. Some people just, I know, listen to podcast after podcast after podcast.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, I kind of want to tell when I, you know, like live your life, man, or mm-hmm. you know, like, live your life. Like don't live through somebody else's stories and experiences exclusively or primarily. The same is about television. You're like, you can, there can be many ways where we take something and we just have too much of it. We let it dominate our time, but in moderation, you know, podcasts, shows, etc., those things can be more, you know, leisurely activities, I think. But it is tricky to figure out where the line goes. And I would say, again, where at least Johanna and I kind of have come to stand is when we know something will give us energy to re-resume our duties and our responsibilities, it's worth taking the time to do that thing. Mm-hmm. Even if there is always that steady laundry list of stuff that we got to do. Again, as a student, like, you know, there's always studying, there's always books you could be reading. I mean, I know most people I've heard, you know, the same with me. I'd probably had 100 to 120 pages of reading that I do on any given night. Did I do all of that? Never. Not once. Not
did I do any of it? Once. Probably also more likely than not.
Yeah. And did I often try to get as much as I could done still? Yeah. But you got to recognize there's like a cut line and it's just like, I got to recharge in some other way so that I can do a better job of this, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's not just about getting back to your work either, but leisure in my mind recharges you to resume your responsibilities. Laziness, by contrast, is a decision, a more active decision that I, again, kind of more of that escapism. Like, I kind of just want to get lost in this, and I don't really have a clear intention of when I'm going to come back.
Hmm.
Like, I think that's another thing, is leisure is probably going to be more scheduled, kind of more finite, not just like, yeah, we're just going to do this thing forever, however long, doom scrolling, whatever you want to call it. It's just like, it doesn't have a clear start point and end point.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was kind of a smorgasbord, but the big thing is whether or not it restores your energy to resume your responsibilities and duties, in my opinion. And then, yeah, like some essence of having a finite, you know, start and stop kind of changes, I think, between an activity that could look like laziness in a different context, that can be a leisurely activity in the right one. So what do you think, Brother Francisco?
Well, that word you use, activity, I think is actually important. I think people kind of use the word leisure or lazy synonymously for just that which is some kind of inactivity. Versus my understanding of leisure is still something that's active, but like you said, it's restorative. But its action or its activity doesn't automatically have utilitarian purposes.
So
I think we just assume laziness is that which doesn't automatically contribute to something else. And in a very utilitarian society, particularly the United States and Western culture, which is so driven by progress, achievement, that anything other than that is lazy or unperforming or doesn't contribute to you or society, right? So while we're told, like, take mental health days or whatever, it's almost like the excuse to be lazy, but the goal, what is the goal of all of that? So you can come back and be productive. So there's a book called Leisure as the Basis for Culture by a guy named Joseph Pieper, who he talks about leisure is not inactivity, but it's rather creative actions that don't seem to have a purpose, and like an obvious purpose. So for instance, reading or painting or just like singing, you know, to yourself, you're like singing with music, right? What are those doing for other people? Not really a whole lot. They might be, they're doing something for you, maybe, but they're not like, you could read a book and then share it, sure. But again, has that contributed to more money flowing into the stock market? Has that contributed to your progress in a work assignment? Not necessarily, not at all. Yeah. Or singing music, you know, that doesn't gain anyone anything, obviously. Mm. But what has it done is it has created new life in your soul. It has created aspects of your personality. It's developed your love for things. It's probably also contributed to the growth of some kind of relationship dynamic with someone else. Things that are more leisurely, activities that are good for us but don't have an obvious productive effect, often are ones that we do in communion with others, or they foster some kind of communion. Versus productive work-related things might be done in a group, but they rarely do anything about communion. You have a work group, but you wouldn't call them necessarily work community. People try these days to make it like your work family because they're trying to almost make your work your life, because no one wants to accept leisure as something that's actually valuable for us anymore. So for me, leisure, like you said, restorative, leisure has something creative in it that work does not. Work has guidelines, work has goals. You can be maybe creative in how you do it, but only so creative. Whereas leisure, like, almost all bets are off in a healthy sense. Like, you're not confined to, you have to do this, you have to do that. Just be yourself, explore what you like, explore what you love, lean into something that you know, like you said, will re-energize you. But maybe most people would be like, that just seems like you're wasting your time. So like for me, like something I've been picking up again recently is wood carving. You know, I like several nights in a row after dinner, I'm just sitting outside, chiseling away for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I don't get a whole lot of progress done in 2 hours. Like, it's a very slow, methodical thing. So most people would like, man, you are pretty unproductive for 2 hours. But what have I done? I've been active. It's kept my mind healthy. I'm engaging with something. I'm learning a new skill. And what's the product of leisure versus the product of work? The product of work is usually some kind of something that advances a group of people or something that increases money, something that flows into the economy or the political sphere, whatever, advancement. What's the product of leisure? Joseph Pieper would say it's culture. That which actually brings people together. Work doesn't really bring people together. Culture brings people together. So when I'm done with my wood carving piece, I show it to people. They delight in it. We talk about it. We share about, wow, look at all the cuts I have on my finger because of this. I almost cut off my finger one time. It's all these things, circumstances, conversations, delight, love, goodness. All of those things come out of leisure. They rarely, unless you have a really good group, rarely come out of work. And laziness, then, in stark contrast, is just that which contributes to absolutely nothing except for an ego, self-pleasing desire to be satisfied. Like, I need me time. That doesn't grow anything. It rarely fosters, it probably actually never fosters communion with other people. And it's just like a running away. And when you're done with it, you have nothing to show, either culturally or productively, and you generally become probably more upset with yourself than you would have otherwise. So that's what I got.
Yeah, I think it was neat because before you even hit on the culture phrase, that's what I was actually, that's what was standing out in my mind. You were talking about singing and literature, music, art, artwork. And, you know, it's just interesting because, yeah, all of those become just such critical parts of, like, you know, a nation's or, you know, whatever, cultural history, all those things mm-hmm. that are produced simply for the love of it. You know, it's not another spreadsheet that's going to become an artifact.
Right. Right.
Or another, you know, receipt or PowerPoint or whatever. You know, it's going to be these things that somebody did because they simply loved to do it, you know, and that's kind of interesting because there's still, you could still look at some of that and say they are producing something. Like you said, there's something that comes out of it, but it's not even just that there is an output like, oh yeah, right. Well, you wrote a song. So now you have this thing that you wrote, or you painted a picture and now you have a thing for it. It's just that it embodies love and it embodies a desire to, you know, do something deeper and more meaningful than, yeah, again, another, like the many things that many people work on in today's digital economy of, you know, Microsoft this or Microsoft that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, that is pretty interesting. It does make me think a little bit, even though, about, you know, then how is it possible? Do you think, is it possible to engage in leisure that is inherently kind of consumptive, where you're consuming something else that you aren't yourself necessarily being creative, mm-hmm. you know? There is not necessarily, again, not to fixate on like there needing to be something that kind of gets completed.
Yeah.
Like that. But do you think leisure can include just sort of consuming something? Yeah, you brought up like reading. I think that kind of fits the bill, but there is, we can definitely understand, or even playing music, like if you're playing a musical piece that somebody else wrote, you're right. Not really the creator, you're kind of just reproducing or continuing on from their creation in some ways. But yeah, what do you think about leisure for where you're consuming something like television or music?
Yeah, see, to me, that's a really tough question. Yeah. Mainly because if I give probably my true honest answer, it's super convicting. Because I think my genuine honest answer is that probably very, very rarely is consuming something just for the sake of kind of like, I don't know, relaxation or like be entertained, whatever. Could that really be leisure? It's convicting because I know I do it.
Yeah.
I do a lot less of it and I notice how much happier I am. Mm. But I think what might be, and this is something that like Joseph Pieper doesn't get into, so this is just like my idea on this kind of, it really depends on the intention into which you go into that kind of consumption of material. Mm-hmm. And maybe if there is a community surrounding you. So like you said, sometimes like you just like watch something with Johanna to get a laugh, right?
Yeah.
Well, laughter is so good for us.
Mm.
And shared laughter is twice as powerful.
I agree.
Right? I can laugh at a goofy video, but you know the kind of entertainment is, you know, it's only mild. But laughing with someone else, now we have a bond, and there's something we have shared together. Mm. And as far as like culture goes, I can't think of something better culturally or communally building than laughter. Kind of just like sharing deep. Personal things builds bonds. Goofy laughter like builds a different kind of bond that we also desperately need in our lives.
Yeah.
So I think the intention. So if like a place probably we need to be more wary, and I know I need to be more wary, is when I'm doing something like that on my own. Mm. Like I'm just like on my phone, or I'm just like going down to watch hockey again by myself. Like, is this because I just don't have anything else to do, and I'm just kind of like, blah, I just like want to shut my mind off and not have to think about anything. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, I'm so bored. I need to be entertained. Or is it something like, okay, like there's a winding down that I need. I might not actually have any kind of energy to do like anything else.
Yeah.
But I recognize that there's still some kind of need, some still kind of desire that's healthy.
Yeah.
That maybe something outside could help foster that.
Hmm.
And that's going to be a super individualized reflection. Yeah. And maybe there, like, you could have it justified or like good on Monday, but then doing the exact same activity on Tuesday could be totally different.
Yes.
Great. So again, that's not really an answer, I don't think. I hate like the answer of like, well, it depends on the person, because I just think that's such a cop out.
Yeah.
That's kind of, so I'm copping out.
Intention matters, you know, and you know, it's why when you're asking yourself the criteria for, you know, like what's a sin, you know, it involves that as well. And that's not to say that you can't commit sins, or that they're not sins simply because, like, you didn't know or you didn't understand this. Like, there are things that are still clearly, this is just wrong. It doesn't matter if you didn't understand
right.
What it was or what you were doing. But I think it's just important to say it is a valid criteria for that decision of, like, is this escapism?
Mm.
And I think that's again, back to, in my mind, where there's a pretty clear line, too, is, like, are you running away? Are you purposely, just like going to drink, there's a massive difference between having a drink or a couple of drinks with some friends because you want that community, you want that friendship,
mm-hmm.
you want the, as Thomas Aquinas said, like the ability to, you know, find things funny that might not otherwise be funny to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you just want that for the purpose of the community, as opposed to, you know, drinking alone simply because you kind of want to tone down whatever the voices, the pain, the loneliness, etc. One is escapism. One is actually the opposite of escapism. It's kind of like what you said. It's more living in that present moment.
Yeah.
You know. So I think the same, in my opinion, would apply to consumable forms of entertainment. It's like, are you running away from X, Y, or Z? Are you in a place, like, as a person, like, you know, if you have a really, you know, lousy day and you're bored, lonely, sad, tired, etc., you know, and you step towards, you know, like, well, I'm just going to binge watch television tonight. I'm like, order pizza to myself. And, you know, the other thing is, I think is worth acknowledging, is that kind of escapism is laziness, which very likely can lead you into other temptations too.
Oh, absolutely. You know?
And that's why I think that's kind of a good point to think about, because it is sometimes easier to see like that kind of behavior. I mean, I remember when I was, you know, I was living in Washington, D.C. for those first few years after college and, you know, got out of the Army. And yeah, there was more often than not, I was bored. I was lonely. I was tired on those evening nights, weekend nights.
Et cetera. Yep.
And yeah, I'd be like, you know what? I'm just going to make myself some junk food and watch some television. And, you know, be it as it may, those things, often those habits of laziness, and that's not mm-hmm. leisure, that's definitely nope. laziness,
yeah.
100% lead you towards other struggles and temptations as well.
Yeah, I think it's John Bosco who says, the idle mind is the devil's playground.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, as soon as we let ourselves kind of just become idle or lazy, like, we're opening ourselves up to a world more of temptations or problems or difficulties.
Yeah.
And not to say, like, you should, like, always be, like, hyper, right? Or always doing something, have to do something. The other half of laziness is always working. Mm-hmm. Being overworking, workaholic, basically. Like, always having something to do. Mm-hmm. Always having some achievement I'm trying to accomplish, which is its own level of escape. Mm-hmm. I can't live in the moment because I still have something else left to do. I'm not comfortable with myself until I made this achievement. And as soon as that achievement done, I move to the next one and to the next one.
Yeah.
Potentially driven by the desire for affirmation or a feeling that, like, I'm only as good as my achievements. But also, like, I don't want to live with, you know, whatever I feel like I am right now in the present moment. So I'll just continue to project myself towards future goals. I think laziness of inactivity is a desire to escape the past, and laziness of overworking is a desire to escape the future. And then leisure is an ability to actually live in the present.
You know, that's fair. And I can say that I think, if anything, the older you get, the more, you know, as you, you know, I know we have all sorts of age groups that listen to this podcast, but specifically for those people that are either, you know, coming out of college, wrapping up, starting their career, starting their families, like, it is very tempting, I think, in that window of time to feel like more is better when it comes to work, when it comes to that, those activity lists. I mean, I talk to, you know, some friends of mine, some other guys, and I'm always, they're often like kind of incredulous by how much work I will take on. Like, well, you know, whether it's the types of projects, the amount of projects, I got side hustles and business things. I'm often incredibly surprised by the amount of home improvement projects that they'll take on, and they'll be like, oh yeah, I'm, you know, I'm rebuilding a porch, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I was up till 2 a.m. last night, you know, putting in a new doing a bathroom renovation, etc. And I'm almost like, man, like, what do you have the time for? It's just, I think, and you know, there's merits to both, and sometimes you might be making trade-offs that come at the expense of your families, your friends, your loved ones, when you escape into those. And it's, again, it's not always even out of a desire to, like, I really don't want to deal with any of my fears. It's just that
that's often not a conscious reaction.
Yeah. You know, and I'm reminded, and it's very convicting to me, of how days go by sometimes where I will have, like, just stomped on the gas extra hard with work, etc. And I'll be like, man, I've maybe prayed 10 minutes today. Maybe, maybe not. You know, maybe that's how bad it is, you know? And I'm like, man, I've said no prayers today, you know? So I think those are good gut check moments too, to always to recognize too. And it's easier to fall, I think, into that laziness via overworking that you mentioned, because it doesn't always have the same indicators or earmarks of being like a sinful thing, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
If anything, you can sometimes, you know, the harder you work, maybe the more financially successful you'd be. The more home improvement projects you've done, the better house, the better stuff will work. You'll feel like this has to be better because I'm being productive. Again, our westernized culture says, like, that kind of, you know, financial success, you know, great home, working, all that stuff. Like, it's, we feel like that's virtuous almost to, like, hit that even harder.
I would say productivity is, like, America's most lauded virtue, quote-unquote virtue. That and be yourself, which is not authenticity. I find that completely different. Be yourself is be who you think everyone wants you to be is actually what they're saying. But that's a completely different thing. Yeah. But yeah,
we should talk about that one sometime.
Productivity, man. Which, so something you said right there becomes, like, Joseph Pieper's last point was, what is the greatest leisurely activity, yet the thing that looks like it has the least productivity to it is prayer. Because on the worldly scale, prayer is by far the, like, most pointless thing you can do, because it looks like it gets you nowhere. You're connecting to, you're praying to someone, you're connecting with someone you can't even see. What effect does it actually have on your life? Does it change anything? It often seems like it doesn't. Or if it does, not in the way you want. You can't put a timeline or goal marks on your prayer life. We tend to do that in a very, you know, utilitarian driven culture and mindset. At least I know I do. Like, okay, I set aside this part of my holy hour for this and do this. And hopefully in 2 weeks, like, this will be resolved, or I'll have felt this emotion, or I'll see an answer to prayer, whatever. And when those things don't happen, it's like, oh, is prayer even effective? And so it becomes the first thing we often drop because it seems like the least valuable thing to our life. Whereas in a sense, it is actually the greatest way to be leisurely because it's holy now. What's his name? Dr. I don't remember his first name. I think it's Bandino is his last name, but he co-authored a St. Joseph consecration book. that I did last year or 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I think my favorite line out of all of it, which is, holiness consists of actions that are common to the family. Mm. And you were just talking about the kind of things you do as a family, right? Kind of leisurely. They're very basic. They're very simple. Or even just like common chores that don't really, on a grand scheme of things, have a lot of purpose or a lot of productivity. You know, they're kind of just things you have to do. Mm. But that is where holiness is, because it is in those places that prayer can enter more definitively. And what better leisurely time that can a family spend than just being together, and then being together in prayer too. Mm. So that was kind of like the last point I wanted to talk about, was just like the importance of prayer underneath all of these things.
Yeah.
So that eventually we can even take that prayer to our work. So while our work doesn't become necessarily a leisurely activity, it can be holier. Yes. Whereas laziness, since prayer has to move us out of ourselves, that's just the very nature of prayer. It takes us out of ourselves. Mm. Laziness wants us to pull, it causes us to want to pull everything in. You know, Screwtape says in the letters, like, we want to suck it in, he wants to give it out, he as in God, right? Mm. That in prayer is letting us give out of ourselves. Laziness is to suck it in, make it us about us. The tension between ego and self-gift, which to me is the tension between laziness and leisure.
Yeah, I think final thought for me for the prayer would, yeah, just that. Yeah, when we engage in real prayer, it. Yeah, it never feels productive, you know, kind of like, you know, sometimes when you're having, whether it's like just really good, goofy time or really deep time with a friend, like it doesn't, like if you sort of asked yourself again in this like productivity worship world that we live in, like mm-hmm. what was the value of that? Like it's going to be kind of hard to pin down, if you can pin down anything at all. Like,
yeah.
I think good, deep, meaningful prayer is kind of like that too. And yet we know that it still nourishes us in a way that no amount of checking any task lists, no amount of losing yourself, either laziness, again, whether it's the laziness of self-indulgence or the laziness of, you know, escapism and overwork, etc., it's no amount of either of those will ever kind of bring that peace and satisfaction that comes, yeah, like whether it's having like a really true deep friendship with somebody or entering in a deep prayer. Yeah, it's just, on the flip side, I think it also can speak to why we have to be careful about going through the motions in prayer. Mm-hmm. Because we can be lazy about our prayers. You know, we can kind of just lazy in the sense of like, we just want to get them done really quick so that way we can get back to some other form of self-indulgence or some other form of escapism. Or you just become too practical and like regimented about it. And I'm saying this to a monk, which is kind of funny. But anyway.
Hey, just because I'm a monk doesn't mean I'm disciplined or regimented that well.
No, but I mean, and honestly, there are specific orders that have that discipline, that order and regimentation of their prayer lives.
Yeah, yeah. But, to that extent, we do. It's part of our daily routine. Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean, you know, regimentation is no guarantee of meaningfulness in prayer.
I'm oh, sure absolutely. Oh, I can
nor,
check out.
Nor is it a bar. Nor is it like mean like, well, there's obviously no meaning to that. And I guess we're like, there's the, you know, Protestants and Catholics have the debate of like, you know, vain repetition, vice, just sort of just talk to God, just talk to him. It's like, well, yeah, we do need to do that. But there's nothing to say that saying specific prayers or saying them repeatedly doesn't amount to talking to God. It can still be that, you know, it starts in the heart for both. You know, because you can also be the prayer that just basically gives a small, you know, speech, kind of ultimately you're just trying to demonstrate your excellent vocabulary or just kind of how passionate you sound in front of a
group. Let me tell you, God, what you already know, yeah, but in a way that makes it sound like you don't.
So, yeah, praise God for our Protestant brothers and sisters who know how to pray with fervor, because they're doing. I've prayed with many Protestants.
Oh yes. Very oh yeah. No. Oh, for sure. They have a lot more conviction in a lot of ways than Catholics do.
For sure. So, but anyway, just to close that, deep and meaningful prayer is like the. It may not always look, again, like you said, like it's something productive, or like it's gonna get you anything, but it's what we can't measure, it's what we can't quantify, it's what we can't equate to a bank account or anything like that, that will come from deep relationship with God and prayer. And then, yeah, again, like as an easy analogy, just a deep relationship with a friend, because mm-hmm. we can see what that does to us throughout our lives, you know.
Something I tell the students a lot here is prayer doesn't always feel good, but it always is good. Mm. And even if it, yeah, I most of the time I don't come out of prayer like, oh, that was just stellar, you know. Most of the time it's like, that was just kind of okay. Mm. But it is, I don't know. Just like, as Mother Teresa says, like prayer doesn't always change things, but it always changes us. Mm. And if, especially in those places for our intentions or where we're going to seek, you know, laziness, prayer is a great source of purifying those intentions. Mm. Because, well, our God is a consuming fire and fire purifies. Mm. So that's what I got.
That sounds like a good one to roll it up.
Sweet. Well, thank you all for joining us for another episode of All Good in the Brotherhood, a podcast of the Benedict Project with your hosts, Brother Francisco and Tom Whitaker. Hopefully we can get that other bozo, Nate, on here. Now, I'm not saying that as if he's being lazy. He is not being lazy and like shrinking responsibility. He's actually very busy. He's doing great things, working out at Catholic Fanland this summer. And then give the guy a round of applause. He got accepted.
Maybe we'll let him.
I'll let him say that. Yeah. He got accepted into something. And hopefully we could talk about that soon. What are the leisurely things you guys do? How do you think that contributes to culture? And what are some areas maybe like we could, I don't know if you want to look advice or just communication on what are some like difficult places of laziness? Hmm. And how can we like challenge and invite each other out of it? Or questions on prayer.
Yeah. I'm saying if you disagreed with anything we said on this, to me, this is a very interesting, because it's a very common, it's a daily thing. Like, how do I spend my time? How do I spend my free time? Again, mm-hmm. I don't have a lot. Some people have a lot more than me. Some people have a lot less than me. Like, how do we spend it? So if you have some thoughts on that, feel free to share them, whether you agree or disagree with what we said. So
yeah, because that conversation is good leisure.
Yep.
So, well, signing off from another episode. Hope you all have a good day, and God bless.
God bless. Take care.